This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you had $150,000, put it on the Bears. Call it. Bears are winning. Bears will win this game, and Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams will have free real estate for 3 years. They lose this game? Oh, boy. Different conversation.
Breaking news. Oh, boy. Breaking news. Are you ready for this? Jackass 5 will be released this summer.
Yeah. Damn it. Isn't it July 26th?
June 26th. Yep.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes, baby.
Damn it, Bob.
What?
You had me all excited.
What? That doesn't get you excited? No, Jackass Five is coming out.
You're like watching guys shoot bottle rockets out of their a holes.
Yeah. Back in the day when we were on Blender, Johnny did that.
Oh my!
One of the producers out there with a bottle rocket.
What? Shot it out of his ass.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't care how much money you gave me. I would never
this
shoot
this was the
a
early
fire.
2000s, folks, okay?
Still, I'm
2001.
I'm not shooting a Roman candle out of my ass.
That's what it was.
Any amount of money? Oh,
dude.
There's amount of money.
What's the amount of money?
Backwards and it's going to get in the.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's going to get in the saddlebag.
Have you ever had a Roman candle go back? Like when I was growing up.
We had Roman candle wars.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to hold it out.
Yeah, right?
Not like this.
No. No, but we would do that.
We're on camera.
You know, but
which end?
Yeah, exactly. You look at it. We did stupid things with fireworks back then. We did a lot of dumb things, you know, with fireworks back in the day. Nobody ever did that, though. And then no. I saw that. I'm like, oh, my God. Welcome to radio in 2001. Mac was 3 sucking his thumb, and I'm watching a guy shoot bottle rockets at his ass. And now look
now,
at us.
Now we're in the same spot, hey?
Yeah. Hey, man. Take this Roman candle and, like, you know, put it there.
Okay.
Yeah. I still think the craziest Jackass thing I ever saw was when Steve-O wasn't on Jackass. It was like a documentary. And Steve-O snorts a line of true Japanese wasabi.
Oh.
I mean, could you imagine?
Oh.
Bottle rocket out of your ass, snort a line of wasabi.
Line of wasabi.
Yeah,
there's no
that's
question.
Where we're at. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
was Jackass where they went into the Home Depot and took a dump in the display toilets, or was that Tom
yeah,
Green
no, that
who
was,
did that?
That was like the show.
Was that the show?
Yeah, they went into like the old like porcelain like thrift store, and the guy just goes down there. It's like Dave. Dave's the guy that does it. He's the one that did it. Yeah. Oh man. I still think we were talking about Jared Allen earlier.
Yeah.
You remember that episode or the clip in the movie, one of the first ones? Johnny Knoxville goes out and does like a cross pattern, and Jared Allen just completely is like,
oh, that's
I'm
right.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jackass. And he's wearing like a Tennessee jersey, and he goes out over, and Jared Allen just absolutely clocks him.
How big a personality would Jared Allen be if he played in today's NFL?
Huge.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Jared Allen was a big personality back in the day, but man, if he was playing in this era is suited for Jared Allen because he was ahead of his time. With the outfits and all that kind of good stuff. I remember his first
the
Halloween.
Jersey number?
Like yeah, right. Minshew, the jersey number. Yeah.
He was 69.
Yeah.
We know why.
I want to say the year that he was a rookie, they made the rookies dress up for Halloween. And I think they were all like cheerleaders or something like that. I vaguely remember like Jared Allen dressed as a cheerleader, like something bizarre. And I was like, that guy's funny, right?
He was on Hard Knocks, right? With the Chiefs.
Well, he was drafted by Vermeil, so yeah, then he was.
Because I remember I feel like there was an episode, and he goes out to eat, and this is when Jared had gone sober.
Yeah.
Like, he had stopped drinking, and the guy's like, what can I get you guys all to drink? And I think a couple of guys ordered a beer, and he's like, I'll do it on duels. And the guy goes, seriously? He goes, yeah, seriously. And the guy's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's wow. Like, yeah, dude. Like,
imagine that conversation today. What do you want? Right. I'll take an athletic. Nobody thinks twice about it, you know?
Right.
Back then, oh, duels.
Right, yeah.
I used to think, and I don't know, maybe you did it as well. I'm like, why am I going to drink the calories and not get the effect of the beer?
You know? I think if the effect of the beer had
kind of ruin me, then I would probably, you know, maybe to feel socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the things that are legal today, I would just be California sober.
Absolutely. You know, but so. I was also in my early 20s back then, you know, and I'm right. like, you know, that things that play at 48 did not play at 23, you know.
Was it Jared Allen's car that had the steer horns?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if you'd mentioned that.
No, I didn't, but okay. No, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he had like the, I forget what the car was, but I know he had like
it was like a Cadillac or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
God,
he would be so good in today's NFL.
I will say, one or the other, before we get to Nate Taylor, better send off in retirement on Twitter, Jared Allen or Marshawn Lynch?
Jared Allen.
Because Lynch had the shoes over the telephone line, and it just had the peace sign, and then Jared Allen's just riding off in the sunset.
I mean, Jared Allen dressed as a cowboy riding off on a horse. I mean, Jared Allen would be the most popular NFL player today, I think. I really do. Just with his personality and everything, people would absolutely love him.
He ripped his pants at the Hall of Fame.
All right, man.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby round.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's time to talk to Nate Taylor, ESPN's insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Nate, you know me very well. You know I am a joyful, fun, non-serious person. Unfortunately, I don't get to be that with this first question. What's the update you got for us on Rashee Rice, my man?
Well, you know, I wrote about this on ESPN. I think we posted the story late last night after going through rigorous, you know, research and you know, reaching out to the alleged victim. I want to make this clear. If the allegations are true, based on the Instagram post, based on what woman who is, the ex-girlfriend of Rashee Rice, the mother of his two children, it's horrific, honestly, based on the images and her account. Now, she has not said anything since. I want to make it very clear to the audience that, like, there's been no police report filed for domestic abuse, whether that's in Dallas, Texas, which I believe is where she lives now, and obviously in Kansas, which is where she lived over the past, you know, couple of seasons. It's really grim. Football obviously takes a third, fourth step back to all of this. But if the allegations are true, if there's evidence to corroborate what she said, then it spells doom for Rashee Rice's football career, in my opinion. And so we'll just keep on it in terms of the reporting and see if she comes forward with the police report. That is yet to happen. But, domestic violence is terrible. We all know this. It's horrific. The damage it does to the victims, the fact that there are two children involved, basic tragic in a lot of ways. So just honestly terrible based on the appearance of it. Now we're just going to try to see, and I know the NFL is involved. The Chiefs are aware of this. We should probably make that clear too. Mm-hmm. You know, they're probably trying to gather as much research or as much information and evidence as we can, or the public will hopefully be interested in demanding as this moves forward. But yeah, just it's if any of it is true, it spells doom for Rashee Rice's career. That's probably the simplest way to say it.
Talking with Nate Taylor of ESPN, our Chiefs insider. So when we look now at the offseason, and that has already begun, obviously, and whatnot, what do you think is the number one goal for this offseason for this team?
Well, the issues continue to arise, right? And I do think the playoffs that we're going to see, especially in the first round and even in the divisional round, they can't help inform you because, you know, those are the teams that you are willing to compare yourself to in terms of like, hey, this team had more success this year. We're actually, you know, in reverse, you know, circumstances based on, you know, the last 6 years, the last 7 years. It's amazing that they went to seven straight AFC championship games. So I would always say that, like, improving the running game shouldn't be that big of a deal or that big of an objective. They should clear that bar, I think. Travis Kelce is a big factor in all of this. Again, I'm of the belief that he will likely return, you know, for another year in 2026. The question is, you know, how much does Mahomes' rehab, how does his rehab go throughout the entire offseason? And I think their biggest hurdle is, can you improve the pass rush, like legitimately, yeah, to where it can be a factor, to where you can have consistent pressure on the opposing quarterback, to where you can actually get off the field on third and long. I know this Rashee Rice allegation puts things into, you know, perspective, obviously, but like, you know, the Chiefs don't really have like a dominant receiver anyway. And, you know, now receiver and or pass catcher in general is pretty high too. But I know I'm not the first person that says, hey, maybe you go veteran option with running back and then you try to emphasize defensive line in the draft. Based on where they're picking ninth, you have a chance to take truly the best player available that's not a quarterback. And so I'm totally okay with that strategy. But they got to get better in terms of just rushing the passer, improving their run game. And I don't know how the group of pass catchers is going to look in 2026, but that'll be interesting because, you know, that group has to get better as well.
So you talk about pass catchers, Nate, and we saw yesterday that Connor Embry is no longer with the Kansas City Chiefs. Bigger emphasis, a good, solid wide receiver coach or an offensive coordinator?
Ooh, can I have both?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm just going on the theory that Andy calls the plays, you bring in an offensive coordinator, it's new season, same episode, but with the wide receivers coach, it seems like there's a little bit of separation where they can be really all in with those position players.
Yeah, and that needs to improve. I can't disagree with it. You know, there I said it multiple times on this station that I really had no defensive argument for Connor Embry. So it's no surprise that he was, you know, fired because the Chiefs receivers, based on the amount of investments you put in, right, that includes Rashee Rice, second-round pick, that includes Xavier Worthy, first-round pick, have those guys gotten marketably better since they were, you know, NFL rookies. And that is an answer that's pretty easy to anyone who watched this team over the last 2 to 3 years. You know, I know there's some sloppiness, there's some alignment issues. You know, the Chiefs really struggle to beat man-to-man coverage. You know, all of these are techniques that need to be really honed in and focused by a receivers coach that's going to get the absolute best, is going to develop. You know, that's one of the biggest issues. And I know I wrote about this, I think it was last week, guys, but, you know, it's still puzzling and almost befuddling, guys, that the Chiefs do not have a 1,000-yard rusher since Kareem Hunt's rookie season in 2017. Mm-hmm. And from the day they traded Tyreek Hill away, they have yet to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And again, given the amount of, like, hey, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, Sky Moore, you know, these were all players that were under Connor Embry's responsibilities and duties, and none of those players really got marketably better. And that obviously includes Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, when we know they are very talented on the football field. If you can get a, you know, more qualified, dedicated, you know, I want to say, like, who can provide more accountability, but honestly, like, just more solutions to what you can see on the field, that wide receivers coach can do a marketably, you know, sizable, seismic improvement for this pass catching group. Because one of the things that whoever that next coach is going to have to say, you know, this is what your quarterback prefers. Like, this is where the sideline is, Xavier Worthy. Hey, this is what teams are going to present to you if Rashee Rice is on the field next season. And whoever they draft, like, I still think, hey, you know, we didn't learn a ton about Jalen Royals, but I still think the Chiefs will probably draft a receiver, would be my guess, at some point, maybe the mid rounds in the draft. Hey, whoever that player is, like, you got to give them solutions. You got to give them ways to improve immediately. And it's understandable that, you know, for as much as people were clamoring, I know the receivers themselves were frustrated with, you know, their own position coach.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. That's good to know that it wasn't just us looking at it from the outside. It was the players on the inside as well were like, look, man, let's call it what it is. The guy was a running back and never coached before, and now all of a sudden is a wide receiver coach in the NFL. That's a fail by Andy.
It's a gamble, and you know, it just did not work. There's really no way around it. You know, when fans understand that this is an unusual path to be in an NFL position coach, you're like, okay, I understand that. That's fine. But also, like, you've got to be someone who is, I think, a little bit more in the prodigy, you know, sort of type when it comes to, like, a position coach who's obviously, like, an early riser, someone who's, like, got brilliant ideas. And we just never really saw that from Connor Embry. And there's not enough evidence on the field to say, like, oh, Kadarius Toney knows where to line up. I mean, like, I could just name 8 receivers that, you know, Connor Embry had a hands-on impact. And, again, none of those players reached NFL stardom, really. And their best example was really – Rashee Rice, and he's got his own issues to deal with. So, yeah, the receivers were more frustrated. And I always used to make this I always used to sort of, like, quietly say this out loud. I know that's really hard for people to believe. But, like, Xavier Worthy got – like, you can look at it, and it's factual. Xavier Worthy as a receiver in his rookie season got better the absolute moment DeAndre Hopkins arrived. I could argue that DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce have been more impactful to the development of Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy than Connor Embry. That's a problem.
Nate, I want to ask you, tonight there's a pretty solid college football game on between Miami and Ole Miss, and
yeah,
I'm in fantasy land, man. I want Reuben Bain to be in red and yellow.
Oh, put a spotlight on him, kids. Yeah, if you care about your football team here in my beloved hometown, I wish ESPN, my employer, would just say, you know what, for your city, for your team, if we had ability to, like, push a button, I would just love a solo camera on Bain, because what he did to Ohio State was really eye-opening. Like, you knew he was a good player, but it's like, this is incredible. Like, did Ohio State just not – were they just not prepared? Did they not understand, like, they didn't really make that many great adjustments in the game either. But, like, I know he has short arms. Yes, I know Jay Binkley's going crazy over the idea that, like, he does not fit a certain profile.
I don't care.
But the juice is there, man. If Bain provides similar juice tonight against a more spread them out, you know, a more modernized version. I'm okay with Ohio State's offense because it's a little bit more traditional. Ole Miss is like, we know who we are. We're spreading you out, and we're trying to, like, you know, quick strike and take things over the top. And they have a better mobile quarterback than obviously Ohio State presents at this point. So if Bain can look similar, again, against a different offense, a different quarterback, bigger stakes, yeah, man, some of these measurables might not matter, because I always understand why evaluators are like, hey, you want to understand who the person is. Second biggest thing is, man, it's the tape. Like, if the tape is undeniable, like, you kind of have to lean on that. So, Bain was incredible in the quarterfinal. Now let's see what he does tonight in the semifinal.
Give me an upset this weekend in the NFL playoffs.
Jacksonville.
Okay. You like T-Law over J-Al?
It's a team sport, ladies and gentlemen. It's a team sport. And one of the more brilliant things about Patrick Mahomes is he kind of made a team sport not feel like a team sport. That's how good he is. So we're asking Josh Allen and really James Cook to do marvelous work against a pretty competent defense in Jacksonville. And I think there are more ways to exploit Buffalo's defense than Jacksonville's defense. I know from a betting perspective – and from an experience standpoint, Buffalo is the favorite. I understand that. But there's a pattern of Sean McDermott getting his team to the postseason and then his defense utterly collapsing. Now you're telling me Trevor Lawrence is playing the best football of his career with a Liam Cohen led offense that has a lot more solutions than I was maybe anticipating in year one of a rookie head coach. If the Jaguars are really going to do something this year, this is a really nice start for them because I don't know if I trust Buffalo's defense. And one of the things I can trust as you get to the playoffs is an improving NFL quarterback sort of reaching his prime at home and a head coach who has really guided this team, I think, really well. I know he probably won't win Coach of the Year, but what Liam Cohen did in Jacksonville is quite remarkable. So if you want a legitimate upset, that would be the one. I think a second one, and it's going to break my heart, guys. Like, sometimes Jordan Love can just, like, get into a zone, and so I'm a little bit leery for the Chicago Bears if Jordan Love all of a sudden plays to his maximum potential. But I think the biggest upset and what could be the more seismic result in wild card weekend is Jacksonville beating Buffalo.
All right, Nate, before we let you go, I want to go back to something you just said. You said football is a team sport, and Patrick Mahomes has made it very much an individual sport because of how good he is. Will the Chiefs take a step back this year and realize it can't be an individual sport anymore and truly go out and surround him with the weapons that he needs, not just for next year, but for moving forward?
Yeah, I think they know that. Okay. I truly think they know that. And I think for Brett Veach, the most sizable example of this, I could say, was 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Because Mahomes was so good that season. Obviously, they went on a run. They had a bunch of injuries. The man to this day, and I will not argue with anyone. I know what my eyes watch. Forget about the statistics. The best Super Bowl performance that Patrick Mahomes ever played was in 2020 in Tampa with an absolute horrific offensive line. That was obviously due to injuries and receivers who could not catch the ball that day. And that even includes Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Mahomes played out of his mind. And it was a reminder that, like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's a team game. And you kind of need to better support your quarterback. So, of course, they had a very good draft in 2021. They had an even better draft in 2022. It fills out the team. Obviously, your quarterback goes to an even higher level, makes an MVP run in 2022. And, you know, the dynasty is continued. The reason why Mahomes is so great, guys, is because, again, and I know I'm not the first person to say this. I know it's been fun to kind of read it on Twitter. But, like, he took Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdez-Scantlin, Justin Watson, and Rashee Rice. Thankfully, he had Travis Kelce also reach an absolute Hall of Fame peak in 2023 to get them back to the Super Bowl, let alone they won the Super Bowl that year. One of my favorite moments is Chris Jones literally getting up off his seat on the bench in overtime of that Super Bowl against the 49ers and saying, where the hell is Marquez Valdez-Scantling going? Well, Chris, he's going backwards. He's going backwards, even though he had a 6-yard gain on first down. That's okay. We'll throw the ball to Marquez Valdez-Scantling again, and we'll still convert on third down, and we'll still score the game-winning touchdown in overtime. So, we know Mahomes has the talent, right? We know he has the leadership, the mentality, the moxie, the wherewithal to do what is necessary. But yeah, it's still a team sport. You still got to have somebody outside of Chris Jones who can rush the quarterback. You still have to have someone who your quarterback can rely on that's not named Travis Kelce. And again, the organization is basically like, please come back because, you know, we understand what you provide both on a statistical production level and what you just mean to the locker room and just like your professionalism, honestly. And so I know Patrick's going to do his best to try to get Travis to understand that so that they can play one more time together as teammates. But we're going to realize this throughout the next month, guys. It's a team game because I'm not sure Josh Allen can do a 2023 version of what Patrick Mahomes accomplished. And he doesn't have Travis Kelce. His best teammate is James Cook. I don't know if I trust, you know, Buffalo's receivers. He's just going to have to go into, like, Superman mode. Same thing with, you know, Justin Herbert. He's got a bunch of injuries. Drake May has never done this before. At least he has a very good coach in Mike Vrabel. But, like, the AFC is so wide open, and it is going to be reminiscent of, okay, what unit do I trust? What quarterback do I trust the most? What coach won't put us in a disadvantage late in the fourth quarter? Is that Sean Payton? I don't know. Is it Mike Vrabel? I guess we'll see. Well, Liam Cohen, he'd be scheming it up for Trevor Lawrence. Can Trevor Lawrence execute in the fourth quarter? I have serious questions about Sean McDermott. And again, if the Bills lose, he could be out of a job a week from now. So if there's so much to go on in the AFC that it's going to tell you, okay, do I trust Houston's defense? Like, I think I should. Denver's defense is very good, but like, I don't trust Bo Nix in a playoff game of absolute importance. I haven't seen it yet. So we're going to really miss Patrick is all I'm trying to say for the next month or so.
Nate, we appreciate it. When the football season is officially over, I think we should go down to Pine Street and get a pizza at Fitters and Wings at Heroes, if you're down for that.
Hell yeah, brother. I miss Heroes.
So do Dude,
I miss it so much. I miss Pine Street. You know, I can load it up for one night. You know, we can reverse the clock. The problem is my body hurts this morning, and I didn't even do anything last night, ladies and gentlemen.
Be all right. Nate, we appreciate it. Keep doing the Lord's work. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Thank you so much.
That is ESPN's insider for the Kansas City Chiefs, Nate Taylor. Coming up on the other side, some streaming news and also some Andy Reid conversation before we get to in-studio with Royals manager Matt Cotrero at 9 o'clock. He'll be with us for the entire hour here, we think, on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.